Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God loves us all, and He's mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. I love the voice of the Lord when He speaks, when He teaches, when He guides, when He trains. I have enjoyed many wonderful results from the guidance of God throughout my life. And the Lord has so much more to say, and I thank Him for it. God is on the move. He's always looking for people He can be a blessing to. And like I always say, He evaluates everything. Everything is exposed to God for what it is. And He understands the heart of man. He knows the thoughts and the thoughts of the heart. He mostly focuses on the heart. And when there are people that He can guide and lead, people that will hear Him, I've heard of Him interrupting people and introducing them to the gifts of God. And then they eventually get saved. The Lord is good. His love is unmatched. And we're all very valuable to God. He loves us. And when we can, the more I love His people, the more I can see that He loved me. And I could tell that He was interested in my well-being. There was a time in life when I thought when the Lord say something, it was so that I could please Him, help Him do what He wanted done, things of ministry. But it took me a while to realize that He's concerned about my life, my well-being, my joy, my peace, even my happiness. Because when I loved people, I saw their concerns and their needs and things they were going through, and I wanted to be a blessing to others in the name of the Lord. And through that, I could tell that God cares about us all, even more than we care about our own selves. So His love runs deep. And sometimes people are focused on the judgment side of God. He has to judge sin. Sin kills. It destroys. He is not like the cowardly leaders of men that fail to do discipline when they're supposed to. The boss that lets people get away with things they shouldn't. The Lord won't let corruption continue because He loves us. When it comes to sin, He knows that sin is deadly, and He works to keep us out of it. He can't make us not choose it, but He can warn us of it, and He'll help us make the better choices in life. Everything that He does has great purpose. And He knows the demise end of sin, how it causes your life to be much trouble, unenjoyable. There are people who gained the success that they were after, but they didn't detach themselves from sin, and their lives have no joy in it because of the sin that they've trusted for so long. So the world sees God as a threat. He's going to get me because of my sin. And then they don't really see anything wrong with their sin, and they don't even see what sin is doing to them or how it affects them in their heart. They don't evaluate how sin is structured to further drive them away from God. When Adam sinned, the first clue we have, he ran from the voice of God. When he heard God's voice in the cool of the day, when the Lord would talk to him and train him and relate to him and show him things, when he heard the Lord coming, he hid himself. Well, sin not only does it cause you to not desire the things of God, it causes you to hide yourself from God. And that first generation, it started out hiding from God, and it ended up wanting God, didn't want God in their thinking process, according to Romans chapter 1. They didn't want God in their thinking. In the 60s, when people were prospering after World War II, they started prospering 20 years after the war was over, or 15 years after the war was over. They decided they would devote God out of schools and stop the knowledge of God from progressing in their children. Now, children's hearts are lit. Their heart is lit. By that, I mean they have light in them. And when you introduce a child to the love of God and train them right, they get saved. They don't have a problem getting saved. And they understand who Jesus is, and they don't have to go through the misery of hell in their life. They don't have to go through the misery side of life from the world. And if they structure their hearts with the word, if they learn the word through and through, they'll have appetite for the word. And then everybody's going to be tempted with the world, and they'll make sober choices instead of deceptive choices. See, the enemy shows you the good side, the fun side, as if there's no consequences attached to it. But the bait side looks good, smells good. You think you're winning, but every time you partake of sin, you're losing something. It affects you. It affects your heart. It affects your mind, the way you think and process. It affects your desires. And you know, I learned a lot about crack cocaine. Because when I lived in the Woodlawn area, I lived across the street from where they sold crack cocaine. And everybody who gets on it, they say the first time they try it, it's euphoric. And then it takes more to get the same feeling, and they never get that same euphoric feeling they got the first time. Now, years ago, I once ate a steak, and I never ordered steak. The only time I would eat steak if that was my only choice. If that was a banquet and all they were serving was steak, I'd eat the steak. I liked it, but that wasn't my first choice. Because I don't like eating that much meat at one time. So most of the time when I order something, I order fish. But one day, a company invited our job to a steak. They had a man that grilled steak, and it was the best steak I ever ate in my life. And it was so tender, you could cut it with a fork. And nobody that I know of ever cooked a steak that good before. And this guy he knew what he was doing. I've never been in any restaurant nowhere and had a better steak than I had. And he grilled it. And it was tender. And it wasn't pink in the middle either. I don't know how he did it, but it was tender and it was delicious. You didn't even need sauce. It was full of flavor all by itself. And we had steak and potatoes, and I guess I forgot what else we had because it was so good. I wanted to get another one, but I didn't want to seem greedy, and I was full. I couldn't eat another bite anyway. Well, after that, I started buying steaks, trying to find one like the one I had. And I still have it. I cook them now. I grill them on my grill, and I'm working on trying to figure out how to cook a steak as tender as his was and as flavorful as his was. And I try different things. I do better and better, but I've not made a steak as good as his. Well, I said all that to say this. When people start sinning, whatever sin they're after, at first the sin will get good to them, but it's not helping their life. Sin is not life. It's anti-life. It's anti-Christ. And as long as you live, if you're trying to have fun with sin, it gets less and less and less appealing. But it gets addictive. And you'll live, if you don't repent from it, you'll live your life growing weaker and weaker, trying to have fun. People don't just sin to defy God. They're trying to have fun. They're trying to have a good time at somebody else's expense. They're trying to enjoy themselves with that. But there's no joy in sin. There's no satisfaction in sin. It's short-lived. And it causes a lot of problems. And it ends up in death. And the people you hurt along the way causes your life to be judged. The laws of sowing and reaping. You're getting further and further in debt to life. You're getting further and further in debt. The actions that we do in sin, it drives the cost that we're going to have to pay up. And Jesus gave us life. All we have to do is believe on him and repent from our sin. And then we can learn true life. And it's much better. Now, because of sin, even when people get saved and they look to the Lord now, the sinful background affects the way that they trust God. They spend so much time on the run from God, sometimes people continue to dodge God because that's what they're used to. And unless a person takes time and trusts the Lord and get to know him, they continue to dodge God because that's what they are used to. Even though the sin is forgiven, and even though they've been made righteous, they're in the habit of dodging God. So a lot of Christians don't expect God to talk to them and spend time with them. They act like God don't want to talk to them. But he does. He wants to relate to you. But first you have to study the word. You have to desire the things of God. If you don't have any desire for it, sometimes people spend so much time in the world system that they're just glad to be saved. They don't expect anything else. They don't expect life to be any better than it is. They're just glad God saved them, and they think God don't even want to talk to them because they never had a relationship with him before. And Christians spend years, and then the Lord will speak when something's wrong. All right? And then they used to, just like when any time he speaks, you have to mix faith with it, just like the word of God, you have to mix faith with it and stand on it. And they're not in the habit of doing that either. And sometimes they don't want to get out of step with God. Sometimes people feel like, if I ask God a question, I'm wrong. That's deception. Jesus said, seek and you shall find. Knock, it will be open to you. Ask and it will be given. You set the pace, not God. He did something about your sin condition. He gave you a brand new heart. And now all you have to do is trust him. And I talk about these things a lot. But on this broadcast, the Lord wants you to know, why do we treat God the way we do? There's a background behind the way we treat God. And that's the revelation we're getting to in this broadcast. Sometimes people don't question why they do what they do. They just do it. That's what they're in the habit of. That's what they always did. That's what the people around them do. That's what the preachers do. Now somebody's got to break the pace. They got to change things. They got to walk in new life. They got to walk with new vision. And that comes from trusting God, taking him at his word. That comes from having faith in the word of God and obeying it. Now, I spent on most of my broadcast talking about what God would say, what God has said to me, how he did. I found out that the Lord wants to talk to us a long time ago. I found out that he has a lot to say to us individually. And I found out things about the anointing. That as we obey God, he can guide us into all truth. He can help us understand things we normally never thought we'd understand. And as the healing, remember, salvation is introduced to us in seed form, and the healing process continues. So when you ask, seek, and knock, when you ask the Lord questions, when you seek him about things you need to seek him about, and when you ask for things you need, you're enabling him to show you his love side. You're enabling him to show you his friendship side. You're enabling him to show you the Father side. And he can explain to you what life truly is. But sometimes we judge God or the life of God by the life we understand. And nobody ever dared attempted to do anything better. And when we study the scriptures, we even read into it our own beliefs. But when you study the chapters and sometimes books, you get a broader scope. And you receive what I call the spirit of the word, the pureness of the word, the God-intended message that he's been trying to get across to hard-headed men. Now others, they don't have a relationship because they love rebellion. In Isaiah chapter 5, God did everything to build his people up, and he pictured them as a vineyard. And the people were portrayed as grapes, but they became wild grapes that were not fit to eat. They became wild grapes that God couldn't receive. They went rogue. And God can't deal with people that go rogue. They don't want to talk to him, and he don't want their sin. They love their sin more than God. So the people that are proud, God, he's not going to relate to them. He'll send a prophet to try to wake them up and get them out of it so that they won't have to die. But they try to stone the prophet. They don't want to heal the prophet. They'd rather kill the prophet and be like they are and not grow and not change and die. They don't think they're going to die, but they end up dead and disconnected from God forever in hell. That's not God's will. They could have been saved. But they didn't know the sin was going to do them like it did. They didn't know the sin was going to harden their heart against the truth of God's word. They didn't even know what they were missing out on. That's why it's so important for us to live the life before men. That's why it's so important for us to learn how to have unfeigned love. Feigned love is fake love. I love you if you love me. I do you good, you do me good. Fake love. But unfeigned love is I love you like God loves me. I love you even if you don't agree with me. I care about you even if you hate me. Unfeigned love. I do you right even though you have no desire to do me right. I treat you with kindness as a standard because I love you, because God loves you and God loved me. I forgive you because I've been forgiven. I love God because he first loved me. Unfeigned love. I help you if I can. I pray for you knowing God can help you, so that you'll have a chance at life. And I don't change. And just like I knew God, people did me wrong, even though I desired to do them right. Some people would try to use you for their own gain when they realize that your love is stable. And then something wonderful happens. They start seeing the heart of God in you. And then they're challenged. Now, the Lord told me a long time ago, he said, if you love people, they will respect you. If you're wise, you will hold their attention. See, remember, people record everything. If you keep doing what's wise, they're going to learn from you what wisdom is, and they'll watch you. You'll hold their attention, and they'll see greater and greater things happen in your life. You'll leave a pattern of good works, an impression on them. And then he said, if you're holy, they'll trust you. Even if they don't like you, they'll trust you. And in a pinch, they'll require you. And if you love them, they'll respect you. Even if they've been taught by a hate group, if you love them with unfeigned love over time, they will respect you. And it's a love that they can't find in the world. So they don't know what it is at first. They don't know how to value it yet. And it takes time to do all this. That's why unfeigned love works. Unfeigned love don't change. It doesn't get weary in well doing. And that's what God can relate to. Now, when you have a heart to love people, you're talking God's language. You're living God's language. You're provoking him to draw near to you. You're giving him a reason to come to you and talk because he can relate to you. And he wanted to all along. You become mature. And when you study the word of God, you begin to have stamina, an appetite for the things of God, so that when he talks to you, you can receive it. You know, I talk about hearing from the Lord a lot. And some people have never, they don't know God like that. But when you draw near to the Lord, he draws near to you. He's been wanting to hold a conversation with you for years, if he's not. And even if he's been dialoguing with you and talking to you and teaching you things, he wants that to continue. That's why I say sometimes, never put ministry first. Put your relationship with him, enjoy him, watch him, seek him. And the ministry side will take care of itself. It'll be in place. It'll be good. You're going to love it. I promise you're going to love all these things as it happens. You're going to see God in a much greater way. You're going to know that he don't change. And if anything, he grows deeper in love with you. He loves you. And his love is unfeigned. And he'll help you keep the standards of the word so you can benefit from it. If you get distracted with sin, if you start sinning, he'll convict you of it. He'll let you know something wrong. You gotta repent. You know when you do wrong, and he'll alert you to it so that you can live, so you won't have to die. And it's very important for us to be ready to forgive, so that he can forgive us legally. If we don't forgive each other, and there are going to be offenses, he's not going to forgive you. And if he don't forgive you, then you ain't going to heaven. Because sin can't go there, and you can't go there with sin. And that's important to know. God loves us, and his love is perfect towards us. Now, with all that in mind, remember, God loves us, and he has so much to say. There's so much to get to. When I first started seeking the Lord and being interested in dialoguing with the Lord, I didn't know what would be next. I didn't know what would follow. I did the same things I'm talking about. I remember dodging God. When I got saved, I didn't expect him to answer me. I didn't think I was worthy. In the world, I definitely didn't feel like I was worthy. And I used to wonder what it would be like for God to talk to me. And what it would be like when he talked to me. And what's it like? And I used to study the word, how God solved problems. Now David, he would ask God questions like nobody I ever seen before. And he would praise God and worship God. Sometimes you can correlate the Psalms with the situation, because some psalms, it talks about when he wrote the psalm during a situation in his life. And you can read about how everything looked to David, all of his point of views. And then the Lord's answer would come. And I learned a lot from the way David dialogued with the Lord. And the answers God would give, I would consider it. And then in my own life, I would ask the Lord all my questions. And I started out asking them easy questions. And I started pouring my heart out. I started saying, Lord, I really want to know, why is it this way? Why do things work out that way? And I had concepts that were not of God. You know, I used to think that, well, maybe when I get more mature, God will give me a better job or something. And that's not true. God will bless you as much as you can. It's up to how much you receive. I didn't think I was supposed to make but a certain amount of money. I went through that phase. And I felt like God didn't want me to make but a small amount of money. You know, deception comes in so many ways. And it take a while to get over that stuff. No matter what I did, I would average a certain amount. And when I worked for myself, I did better. But you know, no man can live beyond his vision. So if your expectation is on level 6, when it should be on level 10, whatever you do in life will end up 6, because that's what you believe. But from the Lord, I learned that there are no limitations. How far do you want to go? And I had to receive greater concepts. What are your motives, and why? How far do you want to go? It's totally up to you. If whatever you want to achieve, pray for it. Sow seeds toward it and get it. Now, you learn so many people are suffering because of concepts that are not from God. It came from the old stagnation of the world. And the only way to destroy all those things, some of those things are set. When you get saved, you don't wipe your mind and start over. You have the same thoughts and concepts you always had. You have to uproot it with the Word of God. It's just like if you plant a garden. You plant your watermelons, your cucumbers, your okra, your squash, and turnip greens, and whatever seasonal. You want the good things to come up. You got corn across the way. You want all that to come up. Now, successful farmers, they make sure that their garden has enough water, not too much. And they make sure that the weeds don't come in and stifle the growth of the crop. You have to pull out all the weeds so it won't take the nutrients out of your crop. Now, the lazy farmers, they let the weeds grow and they have a small yield. But it's up to you how far you go. And you have to go and uproot the things that's holding you back and plant the seed of the Word of God that's going to build you up. And the fastest way to do it is read the things that Jesus taught and receive them. Sometimes people, they read scriptures like, take no thought for tomorrow. He's saying don't worry. He's not saying don't work. Worry and work is spelled two different ways, mean two different things. Take no worry for tomorrow, for the things of tomorrow will have its own concerns. And you'll use the wisdom of God and overcome it, just like David used to do. And see, when you think a certain way and when you think God is set a certain way, you don't want to go against God, so you stay in the way you was. But the only way to overcome these things is to see what God is saying and incorporate it in your own life. Speak it in your own life. If Jesus did, it's all right for you to do it. Whatever Jesus did, it's all right for you to do. He laid his life down for us. We can't do that the way he did that. But we can lay our life down. We can forgive sins. We can forgive people when they do us wrong. And we can speak life to people. We can show people that they've been forgiven. We can preach the gospel. And that's building on the foundation that he made, that he laid. And everything else he did, from walking on water to raising the dead, we can work those same miracles at our will. And, you know, one scripture said, lay hands suddenly on no man. If the Lord give us facts that we need to understand, we receive the facts and do accordingly. Now, God thinks of everything. So did Jesus. He didn't lay hands on without the guidance of God either. So whatever he did, we can do. He's our standard, not the way it was in our lives. And I had to learn that. And it took a long time. And I'm telling you, what it took me years to learn, you learn it in moments. Some things I had to put together. I figured it out, judging by the guidance of God. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. And that takes time. You're going to have to do it in other areas. But as much as I can, I will tell you what I went through so that you don't have to go through the same mire that I went through. You can make the adjustment and go on. Now, others who didn't seek God, they didn't do that. And they're still like they were years ago. They never sought God any further, and they do no better. But that's not going to be your case. You're going to yield to the Lord, draw near to him, and you're going to have the greater. You're going to see the greater works unfold. And you're going to hear what he has to say. Now, I'm out of time. The Lord is not. He'll talk to you the rest of the day. Till next time, remember, I love you. God loves you. And Jesus truly is our Lord.